What's up, guys? This is Carter Thomas with Coin Mastery TV. Make sure you go and subscribe for the YouTube channel. You can go to coinmastery.com/YouTube, hit the subscribe button, and hit that little bell to get notified for new videos. That's how you will get the daily Monday through Friday cryptocurrency analysis. We tend to focus here on macro, a little bit of fundamental, a very loose attempt at technical analysis, but the goal is to help you guys make better decisions, which will inevitably lead to larger profits. And as always, another 24-hour news cycle, we've got a whole new set of exciting times in front of us. So today what I want to talk about is what happened in the last hour or so. I mean, it's noon Pacific. Other than the iPhone X just being released, if you didn't hear, I was just watching that. I also want to do a very brief walkthrough of how it is you can read the order books, or how you can get information from order books. I tweeted about this yesterday when I was watching Omis Go right before, you know, during the afternoon, and a bunch of people responded and said if I could show what I'm doing, and I'm happy to do it. And we'll just open up Bittrex and I'll give you a beginner walkthrough of what it looks like to look at the order books on a particular chart. And then I want to talk about a few other things about what's happening within the altcoin world right now. And then also a couple things that came up yesterday about how a lot of people have made money and what that can often lead to in the future. And also about the timing of where we are. So a lot of really good information. Let's kick it off with this. So right now, if you're listening on the podcast, I'm opening up VFX data. We're just looking at Bitcoin prices right now. And I guess, what was this like maybe an hour or so ago, the price just really took a big hit. It just dropped pretty significantly. And you can see at the bottom there, the volume. I changed all the color is so that the volume is, you don't see buy or sell, it's just the volume number. But you can just see this massive ramp up in volume with a big severe drop. And this is a five minute chart, you know, switch over to 30, it's kind of a straight line, but the five is a little bit better just because it's been it's coming back, right? It's not quite a bounce, it's more of a slower crawl back, which I don't know if this means we're coming right back up or if we're going to continue this bear trend. When you look at the larger picture here, I think that this is still continues to be a bit of a uncertainty. However, what I do think the story is, and what you guys should care about, is what caused this, or what potentially caused this in the first place, which was the CEO of JP Morgan, which is one of the largest banks and one of the largest investment banks in the world, was reported about saying that Bitcoin is a huge fraud and it's going to blow up. It's a bubble that if anybody at his firm gets caught trading Bitcoin, they get fired, which is just ridiculous. And, you know, goes on and on to talk about how it's just the biggest crock of BS. If you don't know who Jamie Dimon is, you know, he's obviously a very, very well-known figure in the financial world. He also famously claimed that Bitcoin was a complete, basically said the same thing 2 years ago when it was about 450 or 480 bucks or something like that. That didn't work out too well for him then. And so it's interesting to see that he's saying this again, right? And so if you're wondering why this drop happened, it's mostly because of this article, right? And there's a few other things, maybe with Charlie Lee, the founder of Litecoin, saying a few things, and, you know, whatever's going on with China. But all signs point to this article driving the price down, and we'll see how this impacts the overall bear market. Now, the reason this matters to you is kind of like what we talked about yesterday. If you didn't see yesterday's video, talked about how the Wall Street Journal put out a very unsubstantiated article about China and the China fears. This, in my opinion, is less about the publication. Right? Yesterday was about the Wall Street Journal wanting to get a lot of attention and things like this, and maybe having some connections to guys like Jamie Dimon. I think this is more of a PR slash damage control move that banks are starting to realize they have to do. And what I mean by that is when I talk to my friends who are in the financial world, whether they work inside hedge funds or work at private equity companies, or they work with investment banks or anything in that world, one of the biggest, not responsibilities, but one of the biggest roles of the CEOs and the people at the top is to keep their core investors not even happy, just that feeling of, hey, everything's good. Your money's in the right place. Everything's all set. That's really what their job is beyond just directing the company. In the last 2 years, there has been this grumbling in the overall macro markets about the returns have been astronomical, really great. However, in the last 6 months or so, the certain sectors are continuing to kill it. You know, tech, Amazon.com is really just crushing the whole retail business. And I mean, there's certain commodity sectors and natural gas and oil and things like that. And a lot of these people that put their money into hedge funds or investment banks are starting to wonder, why are my returns not that stellar? Especially if it feels like they're at the top of this, you know, the end of a bull run in the macro markets. So they're getting pressure from all their investors of saying, hey, this has been great, but what's going on? And why are we starting to see a little bit downward in the returns when we've been getting 12, 15% last couple of years? What's going on here? Especially when they're looking over at crypto, and crypto is just crushing everything else. I mean, it's not even close how big the returns are. So that's a lot of the conversations that are happening that Jamie Dimon is dealing with. On a daily basis, he is getting pressure from billionaires and corporate institutions and pension funds and everything that hires JP Morgan to manage their money. And they're asking him, why are we not getting returns? So that's the first conversation. The second conversation they're having is, how do we capitalize on this in a risk, you know, in a way that's not irresponsible, that we can profit off of? The low-hanging fruit that all banks are starting to do, Goldman Sachs is starting to get into this with their whole blockchain initiative. But a lot of these banks are trying to build their own blockchain solutions for stock exchanges, settlement layers, things like that. They're trying to figure out ways to do it, but as long as Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are going through the roof, they're going to have a very hard time dealing with that. And so the inevitable solution will be that they need to start buying probably Bitcoin. Maybe some other things, but most likely it's going to be Bitcoin. And that's a truth that they do not want to realize, but at some point they will have to layer that into their investment portfolio purely because it is such an outlier in terms of the gains that they can get that will lead to such better returns for their investors, which ultimately is who they have to report to. So that conversation is happening as well. So you get pressure from your investors and you realize that the writing on the wall is that eventually you're probably gonna have to buy into this crypto thing if you can't build it and harness it yourself. And so what is the one thing you could do that would solve those two problems? You could go on CNBC and you could publicly tell the world that this crypto thing is the biggest crock of bull ever, because now the investors may start to say, oh, well, I don't need to worry about that because that's funny money returns. So I don't have to be unrealistic. And then on the buy side, it can help depress prices, right? We've talked about this many times. Look at what happens. I mean, that's a couple, like high hundreds of millions of dollars decrease in market cap in a matter of minutes because he goes on and says this sort of thing. So you can see how the game that Jamie Dimon is playing is not the same game we're playing. It's not the same game developers are playing. It's not the same. It's just everybody's playing their own game. And it's a complete Game of Thrones that all comes back to the market. This is why markets are what they are. It is a way for everybody with competing interests to try to get in at the at in one way or another and make money off of it, which is kind of why markets are so, it's the last bastion of capitalism in many ways. So when you look at something like this, when you guys see articles like this, realize that the statements that are coming out around crypto and Bitcoin, every single one of them is a little bit different than the other one. They all have different incentives. They all have different things that they need to do to make their particular situation better. The Wall Street Journal had their own incentives. CNBC has their own incentives. JP Morgan has their own incentives. We have our own incentives. So we're all playing our own games, but you got to think about this macro stuff so that you don't make any rash decisions about what happens on the market. Because the price, the market price that you see every day, is just a reflection of the collective masses making decisions together. That's all it is. And so that's why I see things like this. And all it tells me is that there is power in spreading fear in this market. That's what I learned from this, right? This is just a personification of that in action. You can't really get mad or happy about it. You just kind of accept what it is and what happened and go from there. So will this bounce back? We'll see. I don't know. It kind of depends on the other million things that are going on in Bitcoin any given day. But the more you see these headlines, I'm telling you, just take a step back and ask yourself, what are the incentives of this person? What forces are causing this person to say this? Because I can promise you that the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company does not go on CNBC and publicly declare that something is a fraud unless they have a very good reason to do so. They just don't, there's no reason for them to do that. He had to have a very good reason for to do this, because he doesn't need more attention. He does not need more eyeballs. This is what he does for his business. So that's why you're going to see some ups and downs in the market. It's also why if you see more things come out like this, just give it a second. Give it a second look. So it's always, yeah. Now let's look at some order books in on Bittrex itself. And I'm just going to do this live because you kind of have to do it live. And I'm going to do it for Omis Go. Now, if you're listening on the podcast, I would encourage you to come back later when you get to work or go back home or whatever, to go look to watch the YouTube video, because I think that it's going to be helpful to see the visual of this. There's not a lot I can explain if you can't actually see the video. Got a dog running around the office today, in case you didn't hear it barking a little bit. Classic. It's funny. I think like half of San Francisco take the day off today because of the Apple keynote. That's the world we live in out here. I gotta get a New York office or something. But I'm opening up Omis Go on Bittrex. Yes, for all of you, thank you for the recommendation to get Bittrex Enhanced. That's this plugin. That's why I see TradingView charts. Hope it looks better. Your order book. So we mentioned this, I think, last week. You got your bids on the left side. You've got your asks on the right side. If you don't know, if you're a beginner, great. The bids meaning this is all the people that are putting in buy orders, saying I'm willing to buy, in this case, 188 Omis Go at 272,000 Satoshi. All right, that's what this means. Over here, this is all the people that are willing to sell it. So obviously, the people that are willing to sell have a higher price. The people that are willing to bid are at a lower price. So there's a few things that you want to look at. The first thing, which is what I usually look at, is over the first column on the left and the last column on the right is the sum. This is the sum of the total amount that is being bid for these particular bids. So because we're trading against Bitcoin, this is a BTC market, not an ETH market, the sum is in Bitcoin. In other words, this is going pretty fast, but you get the picture. The bottom, the 10th order line here means there's 12 or 11 Bitcoin total being bid up to this point. So if you go up here to the top to the order book, and you can look and see a visual display of this, right there where it says 12, that's the 10th order. So this is the number of orders that you're seeing. Now, if you saw a buy wall, right, where that 10th order, the sum was like 200, you would see a straight up vertical line right there. Same on the sell side. And if you scroll out, you know, you go at the 5th or 6th, sometimes you can see a big sell wall coming up or a big buy wall. Often it's easier to see that on the visual because you can see a much better long term. So the first thing you're looking for is what sort of volume is being bid right here, and are there any particular jumps at a specific price? So when I said I'm looking at the sell wall on Omis Go, somebody had, I think, 50 or 60 Bitcoin at a price, let's say 272. I don't remember exactly what it was. And so when you were looking at all these sell orders, he or she was the number one sell order, and it had, the sum was like, let's say 40 Bitcoin, meaning nobody could buy anything unless they tried to buy through that price. So the buying activity really just kind of stops because you don't want to just buy in at one price and have that price not move, go anywhere, because it can absorb so many orders. So that tends to get people to sneak in sell orders that are lower than that price to get the market to work. So you're essentially pushing the market down, or putting a ceiling on the price if you have a big enough sell order, so that people start selling below the price, and then you can start to ratchet it down and people will start to sell and sell below, because if they were trying to sell their orders. This is done in order to keep the price down. So if you're trying to accumulate something, you want to keep the price down so that it doesn't go up as you're accumulating. Right, so you end up just buying up all the orders that get put out, but underneath your own sell order. This is confusing. The more you look at this, the more you'll see it in action. But you'll see it when it comes up. You'll see a 50 Bitcoin, 100 Bitcoin order just pop up right there, and then you'll see all these sell orders starting to pop above it, while that price just doesn't move. And then it eventually becomes the sell price, and then things just keep going lower and lower to try to sell around it. So that's the first thing you really want to look for, is how organic are the books themselves? How natural is the market as much as it can be? Now, the second thing you want to look for is down here on the market history, and you can display however many you want. But when you look at the actual orders being executed, the market orders that are happening in real time, you want to go over here to where it says total cost. And in this case, it's in Bitcoin. And you want to look and see how much is being executed on a trade. Because if you see a huge run up on a coin, and this happens a lot, let me just pop out and let's go to a smaller volume coin. Let's go to something on the third page of Bittrex, like, I don't even know which one I should pick. I mean, Gollum, right? Gollum has had a lot of action in the last few days. So if you look at Gollum, and let's say you see Gollum make a 20% jump, right? Or it has a 20% drop. The first thing you really want to do is look over at the market history and make sure that the bids that are pushing it up are substantial bids. Because if you see a 30% increase going up, but every bid is 0.02, 0.005, 0.06, 0.004. Those are people bidding 15 bucks to get a 2% increase, and then 2%. So when you look at the price increase, it can say you're going up 20%, but in reality, there's no volume in it. There's no real substance to that price increase. And so you know it's going to come down in 2 seconds, right? It's just going to drop very quickly because there's no real volume to hold that up. So when you look at these two things together, you can start to see, is this growth supported by volume, right? Because you can look at the market history books. Is there somebody trying to manipulate the prices by either pushing it up from a... So look at this. I mean, right now we kind of see a buy wall right here where the top order is 0.03 Bitcoin, then jumps up. Someone's got a 6.1 Bitcoin order in. Or 6.4 Bitcoin order in. So they're trying to push the price up above 6.9. So maybe this person owns a huge amount of Gollum and they don't want it to drop any further. They're going to put it a big order here so that these sell orders stop and then people start creeping in buy orders above it, which you can see happening right here. So that's a good example. If you look at the visual of this, you can see what that looks like. It's just a pretty solid buy wall on a relatively low volume coin. So what I would encourage you guys to do is when you're on Bittrex or when you're on any of the exchanges that you use, Poloniex or Liqui or HitBTC or whatever, this is important to look at. You want to see how much is being bid up, right? Are people trying to manipulate the price through these buy walls? And how solid is the volume? How much are people actually buying that's moving the price? If the price is moving a lot off of very little volume, it's not a real indicator that there's momentum behind it. And you can get into technical indicators behind this with RSIs and all that sort of thing. But the order books are really the ground level of where you can see this. And for the most part, it's more effective to look at this in terms of price manipulation to make sure that when you see a price going up or not, or going down or going up and down a lot, it's not somebody just manipulating the price up and back the way it was on OMG. Komodo had that going on for the last few days. There was somebody who was just going back and forth with it until they stopped and after the news conference and just kind of bottomed out. But it's really helpful to see how those orders, buy walls, just affects the price because it can change the way you buy, changes the decisions you might make around your particular bid. All right. So a good reason to do that also is when you're looking at something. I mean, ARK, something I've been watching this week. When you start to look at the history of the growth and how it's been done, you want to see what do these orders look like, right? So now we're getting to this price, and one thing you can look at is, wow, there's only 0.1 Bitcoin worth of buy orders, and there's 5.6 worth of sell orders. This is not necessarily a big indicator that says that nobody's trying to buy anymore. It just means that there's a lot more sell pressure than there is buy pressure, and you'll see that on the order book, right? You'll see how this is bigger than the buy, and that'll eventually even out. It's a lot of it's just because it came up so quickly. So again, if this is new, if this seems like it was a lot of information really, really quickly, go back, rewatch this video, and go into Bittrex and just start watching this yourself. So look at this, it's already up. Someone already back up to one Bitcoin to even it out. The more you see that, the more you will be able to interpret what is happening. And remember, for the most part, it's people behind these bids. There are some bots, there's some automation involved, but those bots usually were the byproduct of someone making a decision to go deploy those particular orders and that order strategy. But that's how it works. And it's the same on any exchange. It's going to look a little different, but the logic is all the same. And it can be very helpful when you want to make sure that you are not getting duped into buying into something or selling into something that is artificially created. All right. Cool. The last thing I want to talk about, I don't even know how long we've been talking, but we'll start here. Last night, I did a poll that said on Twitter, go to twitter.com/CarterThomas. Follow me if you want more of these. The question was, which of the following has been most responsible for your crypto or profits in crypto so far? The first is fundamental analysis, the second is technical analysis, and the third is macro. Fundamental had about 50%, technical had 25, 26, macro had 25. Which is crazy, right? I mean, that actually, I thought there'd be a lot more technical analysis, but once I saw the results, it made me realize that I would imagine most people thus far in crypto who have had a lot of, who have made a bunch of profits have done so because they researched a few coins that did disproportionately well to everything else. Meaning you bought Ant shares or Neo because you researched it and you found it was a winner and it went through the roof, or you found Ethereum, or you found Stratus, or Trig, or I mean, like any of these huge pops. OMG is a good example. Versus technical, which is more about understanding the price, the entry points, and the price levels, and when you should buy and sell, you know, being able to give yourself parameters, which is more for the swing trading side of it. And then finally, macro, which is what are the external forces that are happening, right? Oh, China is going to ban Bitcoin or whatever, you know, whether or not that's true. Being able to react to that to make profits or not, or that something is going to go into exchange. That's a macro analysis. Or what is the overall sentiment of the market? What's the psychological ramifications of this happening? And the reason why I think that this is really important is one, it's going to help me help you more. So I can help you work on all three of these, but really focus more on the fundamental, because if that's what's made you money so far, often that is where the next move is going to happen too. And it's very difficult, whatever. So I'm going to focus on that. I think the other thing to think about is there's a great podcast with Tim Ferriss. If you don't know Tim Ferriss, go listen to his podcast. He's an amazing guy. He's got great books. He had a podcast episode where it was something like, it's like the 20 questions he asks himself whenever he's stuck or something like that. And one of the questions was, or statements that he made, you don't have to make it the same way you lost it, or something like that. And he had an example about how he lost all this money on a real estate deal, and his brain naturally assumed that he had to make that money back from real estate because he lost it on a house, and he had to go get a better house to make it back from the house. Until he met somebody who helped him see things differently, and he realized that he lost his money on his house, but he could focus on he if he focused on, let's say, consulting or investing or a book deal, he would make that money back and then some. But it was in a completely different way. And I've always been really fascinated with that, especially as it relates to crypto, but more just money, right? Money has a weird cognitive bias with all of us, where we often assume that how something happened once is how it needs to happen again. Meaning, if you made your money from fundamental analysis, from researching coins, from finding the winners, it's good to keep building your skill sets, but it's also really important to realize that that doesn't necessarily mean that that's how you're going to continue to make more money. And that's why we talk a little bit about everything on here, because I think you need a well-rounded approach to be able to capitalize on as many opportunities as you possibly can. Similarly, if you lost money on something like technical trading, or if you lost money by researching the wrong coin, or you lost money because you saw the market sentiment do the wrong thing, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't make your money back doing the same thing, or that like you can you have the ability to switch over to something else. Or think even bigger than that. Let's say you made a ton of money on crypto, or maybe you lost a ton of money on crypto so far. You can still make or lose money in your regular life too, right? In the regular markets. If you lost a lot of money in crypto, you don't necessarily have to make it back in crypto. You can go make it back selling, you know, hustling on the weekends, or starting a business, or getting a job, or whatever. And similarly, if you make a lot of money in crypto, you could easily lose it in other places, right? It may feel like a win because you just made $300,000 on NEO, but if you spend it very lavishly in your regular life, or you spend regular money lavishly, you're going to lose it somewhere else. So I think that this is just something that I'm really fascinated with, because there's a survivorship bias in crypto, and there, because a lot of us got in. I've been doing this. I've been in crypto since 2013. I've been kind of in it for the last year or so, and actually trading stuff in about last 3 or 4 months. And the survivorship bias is a powerful thing. And what that means is that only the things that survive, when things survive, you tend to give, you find meaning in why they survived. So if the one or two things that really made you a lot of money, or made you any money so far, we as humans tend to forget about all the things that we did that didn't work. We don't analyze them, we don't think about them, because that's the reptilian brain, you know, forget the things that didn't work so that you can evolve. But if you only assume that the way you've made money so far is the way you can continue to make money, you start getting blinders, and you start missing out on the opportunities that are in front of us at all times. And I think that it doesn't matter. These are all three of these have pros and cons to them. All I would really encourage everybody to do is realize that there's a lot more going on in terms of what can make us money in the next 6 months. Because in the next 6 months, it may be macro stuff. It may be technical analysis. It may be fundamental analysis. I don't know. But I would encourage everybody to look at all your decisions and all your trades and everything, the wins and the losses, through this lens. And see if there's a way that you can not only get really good at the one skill, but get even better at the other two that you're not really good at, so that in the future, when the opportunities come along, you can really capitalize on them. So something I've been thinking about, I think that it'd be helpful for everybody. I know that this is something I struggle with, because I made a lot of money doing macro analysis with investing. And I've glossed over technical and fundamental. I've glossed over technical and I've a little bit of fundamental analysis. But now, through crypto, I try to learn technical analysis. I try to learn fundamental analysis better, because I know that there's opportunity there. And if I don't learn it, then I'm going to be missing a lot of important stuff. And that's just how you get better. That's how you make more money. That's how you make better decisions. Cool. Well, with that, we will wrap it up, and I'm going to see if I can get an iPhone X. I don't think it's available yet, but that'd be great. And in the meantime, go sign up for the newsletter list. Go to coinmastery.com/invest, or start sending out a lot more emails of things that are helpful for you. It's not going to be spam and all that. It's just going to be helpful stuff, because I'm going to start putting together more content that's instructional or informative, more so than the daily stuff that I think that you guys will really benefit from. But you gotta be on the email list to get it. So go to coinmastery.com/invest, put your first name in, your email address in, hit that button. You're good to go. And with that, I will see you guys tomorrow. Peace out.